Afternoon on KVON. San Francisco Giants will be at Los Angeles against the Dodgers tomorrow. The Giants have the second highest payroll in Major League Baseball at $223 million. The Oakland A's the lowest payroll at $71 million. All aboard!
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Your Napa Valley News is brought to you by Matthews Mattress, your family and locally owned mattress store, the only source for Tempur-Pedic beds in the Napa Valley. Stop by and see Dustin and the large selection of mattresses at Matthews Mattress at Soskal and Vallejo Street in Napa. Here's a look at your Napa Valley News, courtesy of the Napa Valley Register. The Napa County Transportation Authority is endorsing improvements to Highway 37 that could include a causeway or embankment to keep the highway above the rising sea level. Other improvements may include more lanes to help traffic on the highway. The City of American Canyon is looking at starting preschool program to help middle-income families. Currently, the city has programs for low-income earners and a high-cost private preschool for those that can afford it, but the middle class has been left out. Preschool would be at the new Boys and Girls Club facility. The rains earlier this month really helped with the City of Napa water supply. Lake Hennessy went from 78% full to 84% full with the help of our recent rains. Some places in the valley received nearly 7 inches of rain in March. Napa County and American Canyon City offices will be closed Friday for Cesar Chavez Day. Napa City offices will operate normally this Friday. That's a look at your Napa Valley News. I'm Sharpie.
As a new mom, former Olympic soccer star Mia Hamm's biggest challenge is providing her twin daughters with the right nutrition.
What I've learned is that your baby needs the big three nutrients. The first two you probably heard of, folic acid and calcium with vitamin D. A lesser known nutrient is DHA. It's an omega-3 fatty acid that's important for your baby's brain, heart, and eye development.
Studies show that DHA is an important building block of infant nutrition. It may promote a healthy pregnancy and help prevent late preterm birth. You can get it by eating fish, but a safer way is to include foods or supplements fortified with a vegetarian source of DHA, including certain brands of eggs, milk, prenatal vitamins, soy milk, and yogurt.
Your baby gets DHA through breast milk, but she can also get it in more than 90% of infant formulas. So you can feel good knowing you're giving your baby what she really needs.
Learn more at thebig3.org. This is a public service message from the Society for Women's Health Research.
Hola, mi valle.
This is Isela.
And Gabriela.
Your new host for La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela. Tune in to 1440 AM KVON.
Or stream KVON.com on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. to our new show, La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela. To learn and listen about current topics, events, and happenings that affect our community.
Listen to your Powerhouse Latinas every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to 10, La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela.
My name is Mira. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way to make the community stronger. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Now, from Napa Valley, California, it's Beer Nuts featuring brewmaster Colin Kaminsky.
Welcome to Beer Nuts. You're listening to KVON 1440. It's going to be a glorious, beautiful, sunny, hot beer drinking day in the middle of spring here in the Napa Valley. Sitting in the studio with Big Daddy Love, John Herkins. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
You look a little foggy this morning.
Foggy. We have spring breakers for bartenders.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the young kids, and they stay up pretty late, and they drink a lot because, you know.
They're on break, so it's all the 21, 22, 23s, you know, come out, and they get down on spring break. So any bartenders out there, or anybody that's single, that's male, all the women are out, and so. That's my heads up.
So watch out there.
Yes, the spring breakers are out, and as the week goes on, they're going to get more and more and more. So probably by Thursday, it'll be full swing.
Also, here in the studio, we have Merrick McCreig, right?
McKeg.
Yeah. I always try to put an R in there.
It's okay.
Because of Merrick.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The extra R in there.
Welcome. Merrick's from Napa JC. Does a culinary program out there, including some beer and wine things. And what's your fourth visit on the show now? You're like a regular.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, oh, Merrick, all right, good. He knows what he's doing. He'll bring beer.
Good. I always bring beer. Yeah,
and he brought
always
bring beer.
Too, so I know. Brought cookies awesome today, cookies. Too. So.
Yeah. A vet.
Right, yeah. Seasoned veteran of the radio show here.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't said what's up to my friends from the Netherlands in a while. And they did pretty good in the Olympics. They wanted me to say that they were, you know, right underneath USA, and they're a lot smaller, so.
You know, but they have a lot more snow.
Yeah, a lot more, right?
You know, with climate change, we're going to be somewhere.
Oh, you're a believer in the climate change, too, huh?
Yeah, I am.
Ah, it's fake. Fake news.
So, Merrick, you and I have a project going on that I kind of wanted to start the show off with. Napa JC is going to do an introductory beer program. The class is titled Business of Brewing. A two-day program coming up soon. I'll be lecturing.
Yeah.
One day is we're going to learn a lot about beer and history of beer, production of beer. Then the second day, we're going to make some beer, and everybody gets to leave with beer, which actually was something I didn't know until this morning.
Nope, it's a good thing. I think, you know, this is something we've been tried to do about 2.5 years ago, and it just didn't kind of pan out. But I wasn't involved with it 2.5 years ago, and so that may be the reason why it didn't go, right? But no, we have it up and going now, and it's going to be really cool. This is the first time we're doing this. It's been a long time coming. I think, you know, we've been talking about this since the first time I was on the show, which was quite a while ago. Yeah,
2 years ago.
Yeah. Time. And so it's all kind of coming together. It's looking like it'll be very successful. And so I hope this just kind of kicks things off in Napa for us to be able to do more beer stuff.
You know, the Napa Valley's just blown up so much with beer, just breweries opening all the time, which I've always wondered why that had never happened. I mean, it just seemed like such a natural fit for the Valley. Yeah. And you know, in the last 20 years watching Sonoma blow up, Sonoma County blow up with beer, I was wondering why Napa County hadn't, and it's good to see it come together.
It is, yeah, and I think we'll have, you know, even more going on. I think it's just we've got you know, a big opening coming later this year, hopefully soon.
Right.
Stone, I hope they're soon, but and I think that's just going to kind of keep the momentum going. And we've got some other things that are probably looking like they're gonna, other businesses are starting to diversify a little bit and add in the beer part into it. So I think we could see some pretty cool changes in this county coming up for beer. So
yeah, I think Yountville's about to see a brewery open.
Yeah,
The rumors are it's even a Type 23, which is beer, no liquor.
Yeah,
and I'd love to see more Type 23s opening.
I would too.
Stone is a Type 23.
Yep,
I know that for sure.
Yeah, and it's great, right? I mean, it's just that so that people's main focus when they go there is to have the beer, and that's the best part. So. Yeah, I think the more Type 23 licenses we can get, it gives us a little bit of a headache for other things we try to do, but I think it, in the long run, those are great.
I think they're great for the beer industry.
Yeah.
The one of the nice advantages of the Type 23 license is they can self-distribute.
Yeah.
So those breweries can actually drive a keg over to a bar and put it on tap.
Yep.
And so that'll make those breweries a little bit more available when you're out drinking, you know, at a restaurant. You're going to be more likely to find some local beer.
Yep. Yeah, and that's our goal this summer too with the Napa Silverados baseball, is to have those those local beers there available for the attendees of the games and stuff. And so that's what we're working on right now with that stuff.
And the other thing that 23s can do is they can donate beer to nonprofits. And local beer used to be a staple at nonprofit events, the crab feeds, the things like that. They used to be a staple here in the Valley, and that's gotten a lot harder for those nonprofits. And they've gone off to Lagunitas and Sierra Nevada and some of the breweries that have the ability to donate.
Yeah. And it seems like everything you got to do has to go through a big distributor. So that is the nice part about that 23 license, is they can get us that nice small local stuff without all that headache.
And even deliver it the same day as the event. Yeah. So there's not a lot of hassles. You don't have to figure out how to store a keg for a couple days.
Yeah, exactly.
So the business of brewing, is still some tickets available? Or
So I think we got some seats still available. We got through Eventbrite is the registration on there.
And it starts what day?
So it's going to be on April 7th and April 14th. So it's two Saturdays back-to-back. And, it's kind of a full-day gig for both days. But out of it, like Colin said, you're going to get a kind of overview stuff on the first day and like that, and then the second day we get to actually make some beer and have some fun with it, and like everyone will get to take home the beer that's made.
That's the best part, right?
Yeah,
make the beer and take it home.
Yeah,
and drink it, right?
I think that's the best part.
Is teaching the class. Maybe that's the best part. According to, maybe Colin is the best part. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think they'll get a lot of information, a lot of new skills and things like that. And then, of course, beer. That's
the tickets are running at what price, Colin? How much are you charging these people?
Merrick's the expert on that.
I'm
working on the lesson plan.
I think we made the registration very reasonable. It's $125.
So it's like 60 a day.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah. And you get beer. Yeah, and you get beer, and everyone gets a cool growler and all that type of stuff. And so we're, trying to make it as affordable as possible, so that way we can, like I said, this is the first of hopefully many things that we are able to pull off and do.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Talking about recipe development, one of the exciting things about homebrewing is you get to make any recipe you want.
Exactly.
And you're not stuck with I don't want to get a Lagunitas again, or I don't want to get a whatever again, or that beer's too hoppy for me. You get to make your own recipe. And so one of the big things we're going to talk about is how do you pick your ingredients? How do you know how much malt to use? How do you know how much hops to use? And it turns out, there's some real simple ways to sort that out. And we'll go over all of that and the ingredients and where they come from and the history of why we use certain ingredients in certain beers. And it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And so they get to take the growler home with the beer in it, or they get
they'll get the growler, and then they got to bring it back and get it filled up once the beer's finished. So that will be
like 30 days.
Probably 2 weeks.
Two weeks. Yeah, I think that would be. I think we should be good, and then we'll set up a time where they can come and we'll
do growler fills.
Yeah, we'll do growler fills and probably hopefully some tasting on site too with that.
Another thing I was interested that you were involved in, Merrick, is you're talking about the baseball team, the Silverados, which is basically a minor league baseball team that's coming to Napa. Is that correct?
Yeah. So they minor league baseball team. They're playing in the series that they're the North Bay series. I guess there's six or seven teams, and so my program, the hospitality culinary program at the college, is doing the concessions for that. Aside from the alcohol concessions, that's the Silverados doing that themselves. But
so
are doing all the food.
You can have a beer at the college and watch baseball.
Yes, exactly.
And do you know how much the tickets are running for? This is pretty
yeah,
new.
Yeah, so I think the season tickets just got announced, and they're going to be $400 for the season, which is it's 40 home games, and so that's $10 a ticket. And then normally, though, they'll be $12 a ticket is my understanding for just the general admission. And then he's got some upgraded seating availabilities there, and they also are going to be able to accommodate some, you know, corporate or group events prior to the games and things like that as well.
And this is starting soon, right?
It is. Yeah, I think a preseason game is on Memorial Day, and then the actual season starts on the 31st of May, and it's runs from the 31st of May through August, and there's no games on Mondays, and then but the players are playing 6 days a week. So
wow, that's a lot. And what time do they usually start? It's all different.
It is. So during the week, I believe it's the 6 o'clock, and then on Saturdays it's 5, and then on Sundays it's a little bit earlier than that. So
the field is basically just like a real field, right?
Yeah, it's our college baseball field. Yeah. So it's where
they have lights, and so it'll be night games and all that.
Yep. And so they're doing a lot of different improvements to the field right now and those types of things.
I think it's going to be good for Napa just to go out and do something different, you know?
Yeah.
You'd be able to have something to eat, watch a game, and drink a beer and relax, and something that's well needed in Napa Valley, some sporting events.
I like it, too. I think it's a great
idea. Yeah.
You know, because I know the River Cats up in Sacramento, they do great. So
they do.
Who can do half of, or a quarter of what those guys can do?
I like going to the River Cats games, too. They're fun.
I do, too. Yeah, minor league is just so much different than professional baseball than, like, the Giants or the A's or something like that. You know, it's just a whole different, a lot more crowd involvement. Yeah. They're doing different activities and games in between the innings. And I think the goal with the Silverados is it to be affordable and just fun for the family. So
I can't wait to see these guys show up at the bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Treat them like rock stars.
I don't know.
I'm sure they're not getting paid.
I don't know
very
if
much.
Some of them are going to be old enough to be at your bar.
Right?
From what it sounds like. I think we got some ones that are right out of high school and stuff. Yeah.
So it's pretty much, if you don't get a it's another avenue, right? Like, you don't get picked up to go to college. You're still pretty good, and maybe you don't have the grades because – I've dealt with this myself. You know, you got a big athlete at home, but he doesn't have the grades, so they're not going to take you no matter how good you are. It's not like back when we used to play. If you're good, they're going to take you. It don't matter if you have the grades or not.
Yeah.
Now it's a little bit different. So anyone out there that's, you know, playing baseball, it gives them a different avenue maybe to get their grades up and find out if they want to keep doing this as a career because, being a student athlete is not easy. You know, you have to do all that work, and then you have to do your schoolwork on top of that. So it's very hard for those guys. So, hopefully there's some that are close to 20, 21.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
They'll still come in and eat.
I'm sure there will be, yeah.
They can still have a burger, right?
Yeah,
right.
They can still come in and have a burger.
Speaking of drinking, right, and having burgers, we have cookies, too. So.
But before we get into beer.
My beer hand is really itchy right now.
I know, but we just have to, get this down on the record.
Okay.
This is a new Beer Nuts record.
Is this?
This is the longest you've ever gone without asking for a beer.
It feels like I need to be open to one right now.
It's a record.
Should we go to commercial and make it longer?
You beat the old record by 5 minutes.
Oh, this is a record.
That is.
You could tell that I've had a long night. So I'm going to open this now. Can I open this now?
Yeah, open it now. What do you got?
All right, 18 minutes, so that's a new record. So I got a Dogfish Head, which is pretty popular, and this one is called Flesh and Blood. So they kind of got my attention. It's in a red can, and it has some hops, and it has some, I guess, orange peel-like design on it, and it's all red. And so it's basically a takeoff of, a lot of people are doing IPAs, and they're putting, like, the tropical and the citrus. And
so this is blood orange, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and these guys are from Delaware, I think, which is a ways away. So hopefully it traveled well. You're always telling me the closer the beer, the better the beer.
Sam might be the second most famous brewer in the
world. Yeah. Pretty well-known brand.
Dogfish knows what they're doing, so I figured it'd be okay.
Sam had his own TV show.
Right? So the color on this is, it's kind of a little bit...
Light amberish color.
Yeah, light amber, a little bit darker than a normal pale ale. And there you go.
I was kind of hoping it would have some red color.
I know, I thought it would have some of that blood orange stuff going on there.
Blood, right? But it's a little bit darker, and it has a very citrusy head. The head retention is pretty good. My mouth is so dry for not having a beer. I'm just going to be refreshing. I'm going to like this one no matter what, right?
It's nice. For me, Dogfish being an East Coast style never quite has the right malt hop balance for me. But this one's really nice. I like this one a lot.
I can drink this
very
one.
Very smooth.
Yeah. It sometimes the like the Dogfish 60 minute, the Dogfish 90 minute, they're just a little too malty for me.
Yeah.
Well, this one's good because it has a little bit of that blood orange at the end, or maybe it's subliminal because I'm looking at the can or not.
And it's real crisp. And yeah. I can certainly taste the orange.
Yeah, and I don't think we necessarily over here get a lot of their styles because, you know, I lived in North Carolina and South Carolina, and we had a lot heavier distribution of Dogfish Head there. And so they would have some of their, like, their 61-minute and those types of things, which was that extra little bit which really took that beer to a different level. So it was...
You know, Dogfish has only been in California for 3 years.
Okay.
So it's new for us.
Yeah.
I remember... when they first came in, they brought in 3 5-gallon kegs of 120 IPA for the entire state.
Whoa.
And I got one of them because it was one I'd wanted to taste forever.
Yeah.
I was expecting something totally different. I was expecting Pliny the Younger or something.
Yeah.
And it really isn't. It was more like a barley wine than an IPA to me. And
yeah.
Well, I like this one. That's for sure.
I like this one a lot. This might be my favorite Dogfish that I've had.
Deliciousness factor is high for me.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm drinking another one. You guys go ahead and talk.
Especially since we made you wait 18 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
So I guess you can find it
now. It's in a can.
I haven't seen this one. This is the first time I've seen it, so I figured I'd bring it for the show, the Flesh and Blood. I don't know if you guys have seen it out yet.
No, I haven't seen that one either.
I've had it on draft. This is the first time I've seen it in package. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good beer if you're out there looking for a nice beer. And I do like the citrus note, and it's not super citrusy where you're going to get that, you know, that burn, you know, that citrus, you know, over citrus IPA kind of burn that you get. This one is more of a kind of a grapefruit citrus, more of an orangey.
And it's not overly bitter, you know. It's well balanced.
Yeah, this is a good beer. So
yeah, I think they did a nice job with it. I like it.
The blood orange isn't really overpowering or anything in that.
No.
There's enough, though, that you know it's there.
Yeah. Especially if you're looking at the can, right?
And what do they say? They have some lemon flesh in there?
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. What else are they? I'm trying to read it without my glasses here.
Well, it's got a blood orange.
Brewed orange with orange peel.
Lemon and...
lemon flesh.
Orange blood orange juice.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So it's good. It's definitely good for breakfast beer. I'll tell you that.
You know, on the East Coast, I think out here in California, we make all of our IPAs way too bitter. And so it makes it hard to travel between the two sides.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
Because you get used to one, and then you have to taste the other. And when I first started traveling up and down the coast, I found it was really hard to find an IPA even in Portland because I was so used to North Bay IPAs.
Yeah.
And then you go to San Diego, and then you'd have to go through all the IPAs to find the one you like there too.
Yep.
Washington was the same way. Because the styles were so different, and they were kind of clustered around a certain mark that obviously people were thinking of as what their desired style was. And it was surprising to me then how different it was.
Well, I just saw that... hazy beers now have a classification in the JC or in the BJ. Yep.
Do they finally?
Yep. Yeah, they finally did. I think it was earlier this week or the end of last week. It got announced that they finally were recognized.
So those are all IPAs, or is it just called hazy?
No. It's like a hazy IPA. Yeah,
and
actually,
do you have
style.
To bubble oxygen into the package?
I don't know. I'm waiting for them to come out in a carton soon, man. Some of them are pretty much just orange juice.
Yeah.
So. It's
you know it's I got really lucky. A friend of mine in Boston sent me a bunch of the Trillium beers on release day.
Okay.
And we got to taste them.
Yes, we did.
And if it wasn't for those Trillium beers, I think I still would absolutely hate the style. Now that I've had one of the prime examples of the style, I know why people like them. I see where people are trying to get. Because out here on the West Coast, we were failing miserably, in my opinion, anyways. And
We had one last week, right? Sierra Nevada, the hazy little something.
Well, and so Sierra Nevada did the same thing that I did, which they had a bunch of those hazy beers shipped, and they drank them in their tasting panels. But then they also sent them to the lab and analyzed them.
And see what the, how they changed and stuff.
Yeah, and, yeah. And so Sierra Nevada is bottling them with normal low oxygen. But we don't think that they're adding oxygen on purpose on the East Coast, but these packages are coming full of oxygen. Mm. And so it makes the shelf life on them, you know.
Very short.
In 10 days are ruined.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We got to pay some bills? Or what
we got to pay some bills. You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts.
Save up to 50% off.
1948 was a big year for everyone in Napa. For the first time, Napans were able to enjoy luxuries like cable television, hairspray, and best of all, breakfast from the newly opened Buttercream Bakery in Napa. Also noteworthy, 1948 marked the first year that Napans of every age, stage, and income level had access to bilingual mental health services provided by Mentis. Now, 70 years later, Mentis is still serving our community by providing the tools people need to live emotionally healthy, stable lives. Through the counseling, coaching, and support of Mentis, our people are strengthened and so is our community. This year, we celebrate Mentis' 70th birthday and their positive impact in Napa County. Like and follow Mentis on Facebook at Mentis Napa. And look out for Mentis' Mindful Mondays, where you can hear from supporters in our community via the Mental Health Champions hashtag.
Community Grapevine.
Join the UC Master Gardeners of Napa County at their 6th annual Tomato Plant Sale and Education Day on Saturday, April 14th at 9 a.m., held at the UC Cooperative Extension Office at 1710 Soskal Avenue in Napa. The sale features 4,000 tomato plants in 28 varieties with many colors, shapes, and sizes. Tomato experts and growing information will be on hand to answer your questions. For more information, call 253-4221 or find us online at UCMG Napa.
Welcome back to Science Today, and the next caller is 9-year-old Philip.
Hi, well, I know the molecular formula for glucose, C6H12O6, and the general formula for an alkene is CnH2n plus 2, but I can't seem to find any scientific formula for Bob.
Bob?
My goldfish.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Hey, what's up? This is Glenn speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation, where we say stop whatever you're doing, baby, and dance. Because movement is just one of the ways you can fight osteoarthritis pain. For more information, visit fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
A good partner is always at your side, helping out today, planning for tomorrow, moving forward together. At Redwood Credit Union, we can help you achieve your goals with banking tools that deliver great value year after year, like free checking with rewards, affordable loans and credit cards, and convenient access to your money. It's banking from right here for the people who call this place home. Today, tomorrow, together. Learn more at redwoodcu.org. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! And stop! Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
Beer! Geeking out with Beer Nuts.
Welcome back to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. Made it through another half of a show, huh, John?
Oh, yeah, man. It's getting better now.
It's getting better now.
I got beer. I see cookies. I'm starting to come to life. You know what else? The Downtown Joe's is a sponsor of the Silverado, so I want to put that out there. So
yeah.
Yeah. So that's I don't know how much it costs to be a sponsor, but I heard it's $10,000. So if you want to be a sponsor, go ahead.
You get a sign.
Yeah, you get a little sign.
I'm sure there's a sign or something. Yeah, I think there's a bunch of that stuff going right on. So
I mean, that's cool. I mean, I'm kind of excited to see some of these young guys and have some feedback from having our own baseball team in the Napa Valley.
Yeah.
So we've got another one of Merrick's ultra rare Sudwerk.
Yeah, beers. It's a year old today.
It was bottled almost a year ago from what it looks like.
Yeah, 329.17. So that's almost a year, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow it'll be a year old.
It didn't make it to its first birthday.
Almost.
We just cut it just short, but
so what's this beer about and what's it called? And
so this beer is one of Sudwerk Brewing up
in it for a year?
Davis, right? I have a lot of stuff in my fridge, that man.
Does not last a week.
You know, this gets stuck in the back corner or something.
I cannot imagine having a beer in my house.
No, how good this one is. So, and I buy a couple of them every time I do it. So, so this one's called Oso Furioso, and it's part of their Brewer's Cut. That's their barrel series that they do.
Oso is bear, right?
Oso,
yeah, angry
yeah,
bear.
Yeah, angry bear is what this one translates to, and it's it's a 9%, and this is batch number 3, so I love it because it's got a handwritten label on it. I think they're cool. I've actually watched these guys bottle these before right out of the barrels. It's pretty cool to watch them do it. So it's bottle conditioned and everything, which is really nice for it. And so this one is, and when it's really young, I equate it to almost drinking like a cold brew coffee. Because it's very much, but as it's aged, I actually get a little bit more of the chocolate notes coming out of it. But it's still a really...
So this is a 9%er, huh?
Yeah, 9%. But I think you could call this one a breakfast beer because this thing, it tastes like it would be a good breakfast.
I think the chocolate notes come through really well. And what interestingly, which I couldn't taste a year ago, some peppery notes are coming through, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Did we taste this beer a year ago?
No, I didn't.
I
was lecturing out at Sudwerk's right after this beer came out.
Speaking of Sudwerk's, when are we getting them back on the radio show, man?
I know. We gotta get them, man. They got a bunch of new things going on over there, and we got to probably get them back on here so they can talk about it a little bit. But, one of the big feats that we accomplished this last year with Sudwerk was we finally got them distributed in Nevada, which was that was a big thing. That took us about a year and a half to get that all set up and going, and so they're now distributed in Nevada, which is great, and primarily the Reno market. Reno and Tahoe, they're doing good out there. And so we got them set up with a couple contacts that we had.
That's where the tourists are, right? Gambling their money away.
Exactly. So I think good market for them, and I think hopefully that allows them to spread down to Las Vegas and then maybe into Southern California a little bit too.
You know, when you study brewing, one of the things they teach you is keep your beer as close to the brewery as you can.
Yeah.
And Reno Tahoe's nice and close to Davis.
It is. It'll it's only 2 hours. It's a very, very reasonable. I know they already do distribute down in Southern California. I met with their rep down there when I was down in San Diego one time, actually about a year ago. And I think just the more they get their brand out there, they make really good beers, and I think these IPLs are going to be kind of another style that should be, and lagers just in general, I think, are going to be making a bigger comeback here.
You know, and that's the thing. I think if Sudwerk's, back in the day, 25 years ago, had gone with ales, they'd be a big famous brewery.
Yeah.
And because they went with lagers, they and Gordon Beer kind of became the forgotten breweries. Because everybody was like, "Oh, ales are new. Let's do ales," and
they're quick, right? And they don't take
a lot of capacity.
You don't have to sit on them and that type of stuff. And that is one of the one of the downsides of the lager style for some breweries is that you got this inventory sitting there waiting and developing. It just takes a lot and a lot more cold storage and different things like that.
It's like twice as long or three times how long do you think it's
twice as long,
And a lot more temperature control goes into it too. So
you have the storage and you have to have a temperature control storage.
Well, and colder storage too. Yeah. So it's more energy intensive because you're storing you're aging the beer twice as long, but you're aging it, depending on the process, probably 15 degrees colder.
Yep.
Well, I'm ready for a cookie. So I mean,
so, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I brought these cookies this morning. I went over and saw my guys from Contimo Provisions, and these guys are right now. They operate out of the Miminashi, the soft cream window in the mornings on Tuesdays through Fridays right now, and then of course they have a big presence at both the St. Helena Farmers Market and the Napa Farmers Market on Fridays and Saturdays respectively. But they just announced on Monday that they are going to take over the box office location at CIA at Copia, which will be great. Yeah, and so they're going to have that open Monday through Saturday, and you'll be able to go over there. They serve biscuits in the morning. They have killer sandwiches that they do. They make sausages in-house. They cure their own bacon and smoke and their own bacon, so they have that for sale. And then they always have different meals every week. So these cookies are their whole wheat, dark chocolate, and sea salt cookies.
Yeah, I was going to say salt. I like it.
So they went to UC Davis, actually. Kevin, one of the owners, went to school there. And so they went back to Davis and they actually studied heirloom wheats for 2 weeks to figure out which wheat would make the best cookie. So these guys are very obsessive their food. Yeah, 2 weeks to figure out the wheat that goes into this cookie. And I think it's a very good cookie.
Well, every Star Trek fan knows that you use triticale. Oh.
So these guys, you know, I mean, Rebels. They just they do some great work. Their food's always phenomenal, and so any chance I get to promote these two guys is one that I take.
I can tell you right now, the cookie's good, and I wasn't expecting to be as dry when I tried it because I was just looking at it. Looked very
moist. Yeah, they look like they'd be soft, but yeah, they're a little bit crunchy. Weren't. They're just a tiny bit crunchy. Yeah.
I like it, and then also the salt with the chocolate. That's always one of my favorite things. You know, you get a nice dark chocolate, like looks like is dark chocolate in the
and the chocolate in it and the salt and chocolate goes really well with this beer too.
It does. I'm like, wow, that's I went and saw him this morning. I picked up my coffee and he had cookies for sale, so I was like, man, I knew I was going to bring this bottle of Oso Furioso to the show. And I was like, oh man, I've had those cookies before. I'm thinking that cookie might go great with that beer. So I figured, hey, let's do a little bit of a pairing this morning, too. So
I don't know why more people don't do, big bars like Mars and Twix and all those other people. Why don't they do salt with dark chocolate? I mean, I think there's a market out there.
What is the salt? There is a salty chocolate bar. It's got...
There's Payday. It has the peanuts and stuff and a little bit of salt to it, but...
No, there's one that's got sprinkles of salt on the top. I remember getting it as a kid in my Halloween bag.
I mean, it was Chico Sticks. Remember the Chico Sticks when we were kids?
No, I don't remember those.
They weren't really chocolate.
Oh, the Chico Stick, yeah.
They have salt, salty taste to them.
Maybe my research assistant will chime in on the candy bar with rock salt on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well...
It's not mainstream.
Well, but it's becoming more, right? I mean, it may not be mainstream, but artisan chocolatiers have been doing that for quite a while now, and it's it does. It really enhances the flavor of it, but I don't know, this cookie goes perfect with this beer, so I don't know if it's just I haven't had a cookie in a few months.
It's good sugar high, man, on the radio.
It is pretty good.
You know, certainly, the sugar must be waking me up. It's not the beer; it's the sugar.
Sure.
Speaking of my research assistant, her assistant has
assistant
a message.
Assistant of your assistant.
The assistant of my assistant has a message for you.
Okay.
Turtle.
Oh yeah, turtle. That's right. Yes. He's listening. That's good. My kids don't listen, you know, because they're old and they.
They're in college. They have better things to do than listen to us old guys.
At 9 o'clock.
Kids are still sleeping, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so this beer. What else have they been doing out there at Sued Work? Because, I'm kind of, we need to get them on the radio. And I know that you're in cahoots with those guys. So
yeah. Well, they just did a big rebranding a couple months ago and changed their kind of design and their packaging pretty significantly.
Okay.
And moved to a lot more cans, just the desired method right now.
Did they put a canning line in?
I don't think they have their own canning line yet. Running a mobile still, but they have a lot more product coming out in cans these days. They changed they used to do that hoppy lager, and now I think they just call or it was a dry hopped lager before. Now they just call it a hoppy lager. They changed their pilsner to the People's Pilsner. Nice. And
I've always liked their pilsner.
Yeah, so they've got a couple. They kind of took their flagships and kind of rebranded them, made it very attractive packaging, very nice and very pleasing. So I think, that type of rebranding definitely helps.
Here's another question. I don't know if you have the answer yet, but you're going to have a food truck out there. Do you know what kind of food you're going to be having? And you're also going to, you also, big barbecue fan myself, you're also going to have a big barbecue trailer that's going to be out there. Do you guys have kind of a menu yet, or are you thinking about what you guys are going to be serving out there at the ballpark? Or
yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, I was pricing out our menu yesterday. So
So what kind of stuff
we got to have a hot dog, right, and nachos, and those types of traditional concession fare. But I've got a hot link sausage that I'm going to do with grilled peppers and onions with Alabama white sauce over the top of it. That's going to be pretty killer.
Do you know who's supplying the hot link?
It looks like right now we're trying to get a partnership going with Evergood Sausage
Company. Evergood, they do have a good one. Sylvia has a good one too, but they're a little bit pricier.
Yeah, and I've got a couple other prospects as well on that. And then we'll have our core menu, but every single game we're going to have some specials, and that's where we're going to roll out some of those. You know, we'll have some barbecue stuff going. We had our big smoker trailer that will be in tow with us out at the games, doing that type of stuff. And I also have the students this semester coming up with a bunch of the different specials that we're going to run. So
that's good.
Which is pretty cool. So these kids are going to get to, after I teach them some of the basics this semester, they get to kind of play the creative side, and we're going to make some cool, wacky, kind of over the top concession items that like you would expect to see.
Yeah, what's good about doing specials is you can find out what's going to sell.
Exactly. And then our hope is our menu is not printed. It's going to be on a digital display. And so as things become more popular, we have that flexibility and the agility to be able to adapt to what people want and those types of things throughout the season, which will be really great.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. I mean, for me, the recipe testing, menu development, there's nothing sad about that, right? I mean, you're getting to try food, test things out, tweak things, make things different, get people's feedback. And so that's, and what better way? I've got 5,000 students on campus that I can get some feedback from when we go do these testings and stuff.
You can have a grill, a smoker, a deep fryer, I assume.
Yep.
And a flat skillet. You can have everything. You're going to have a whole setup, pretty much. Whatever you can have in the kitchen. So that gives you a lot of dynamic. You know, like sometimes when you have these little concession stands, like for Little League, you're stuck with what you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah, We will have
one steamer.
Immense flexibility. And the way that our food truck is lined out is we're actually able to change and adapt equipment pretty quickly in there.
Yeah.
So if a particular day we want a different setup or something like that, we'll be able to achieve that pretty easily. And the other thing is the Silverados, some of the games are going to be themed. And so we'll be able to match.
Are you going to pirate day?
Based on that.
I want to go to pirate day.
I don't know. I don't know what specials.
You would want to go to pirate day.
I think it would be a great pirate day. Would be
Star Trek
perfect
day for this guy, man. You know, get him dressed up like a Klingon.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think being able we'll have specials that correlate with all those and stuff, which will be really cool as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a lot of fun. It's an experimental gig. We can try things out, see what works, see what doesn't work, and change things. You know, we're not a big corporate restaurant or anything like that where we don't have any flexibility.
Well, I'm sure they're going to sell merchandise too, right? Hats, shirts. I mean,
they've got it, right?
Yeah, they've got it.
Money
so they're
left on the table if you don't
have all that stuff available too. So, yes, it should be really cool. I think he's got there's going to be a kids zone and a lot of things going on at the game and. You know, throughout this, the owner's main goal is just to keep it community focused. And so, community vendors, community partnerships, things like that to make all this happen.
All right, Merrick. So these guys, who do they play? Do you know? And where are these guys getting drafted from? Do you know?
I don't. So there was earlier this.
Is it Calistoga, Sonoma, Napa? And I heard Richmond.
Yeah, I think and Vallejo has Vallejo. A team. They're kind of all over right in the North Bay area from what I'm understanding. And even Pittsburgh has a team and things like
so
that.
So even if you want to follow these guys, like not yeah, at a oh, yeah, home
you
game.
Could easily you can drive, easily, you know, I mean, I'd say within 45 minutes or something, you know, you're probably on to the next location where they're going to be playing. And like I said, the only days they don't play is on Mondays.
Yeah.
And so I mean, and so there's a couple weeks on the schedule where they're playing four games in a week here in Napa. So,
yeah. All right, Colin. Question for Colin. So, what are you going to teach at this the business of brewing at the college on April? Was it 7th?
April 7th and 14th.
And 14th. So, how is your how's it going to start?
Well, so the basic idea. I want my goals are when okay. somebody leaves the program. That they know why we brew beer the way we do. They know what the ingredients are and where they came from and how we choose them. They know how to formulate a recipe. And then they have the confidence to actually take some brewing equipment and brew. So you have to – there's a lot of stuff that gets covered
so this is kinda
in that period of time. But it's
if you want to, if you're a home brewer, you'll learn more. If you want to become a home brewer, you'll learn how. And then if you are an everyday guy like me, you'll learn more of what you don't know.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
There certainly will be some style appreciation stuff in there if you don't brew at all. That'll be really valuable. As far as, you know, well, why is it that lambic beers only come from Brussels or things like that? There's things like that where, you know, we talk about all of these styles, but can you make a lambic beer in Sonoma? Well, no, you can't make a champagne in the U.S. either. And for similar reasons. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, my biggest hope when we started all this was just anybody who's going to take the class will get something out of it, right? And it's whether you are already an avid home brewer, you're going to maybe refine your skills a little bit, enhance what you already know, and gain some more depth into what you know. If this is kind of a curiosity to you and you want to become a home brewer, maybe this is what helps you realize, hey, I can do this. This is, you know, or if you don't have the desire to brew beers at home, but you just want to learn more about beers, this as well will be
I think it's cool,
a great
like,
platform for that.
I'm sure there's going to be like mentors there, like people who've been doing beer for a long time, and somebody that just comes in and you know, doesn't know anything. It's good a learning experience for both parties.
You know, one of the things I always did at Downtown Joe's. It was kind of funny. It started off as a whim. The brewer before me, Lance McLaughlin, was leaving, and I was coming in, he said, you know, you're going to get people that ask you to brew with you all the time. Always say yes. They never show up.
Is that true for the most part?
No. Actually, everybody showed up.
He's a liar.
And everybody showed up.
Lance, you're a liar.
Hey, if anything, you got some help for the day.
Right. So
some babysitting.
Actually, it takes longer to have somebody there.
Yeah, it took longer to have help. Yeah. It added about 2 hours.
I'm sure it did.
When I train a bartender,
But I had 20 guest brewers a year for 15 years. I mean, I dealt with so many people, and it was fun. It was some guys would come in. And they'd hang out and they'd brew with you and you'd talk about cars all day. Some guys would come in and you'd talk about, you know, I had a girl come in she was French. She didn't speak any English. And the only thing we had in common was we could write chemistry. So we wrote the chemistry of beer to each other all day long for 8 hours.
Yeah, that's like right up your alley. Yeah, numbers. I know that was a pretty good day for you.
Numbers. So.
that was actually really fun. It was interesting.
I know.
Yeah, she was from Bordeaux. And,
you would like that.
It was really funny.
I would have been like, okay, you might as well be writing on the wall right now because I don't know what this is. Yeah.
She was a trained winemaker, and she had really intelligent questions about the chemistry of beer. But she didn't know enough English. She literally couldn't ask me how was my day going. She didn't know enough English to do that.
And wow.
Well, numbers are, you know, the international language, right? So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
But you did have one guy there for a while. I think it was I don't know.
Kyohei.
Yeah, Kohei.
Kohei, yeah.
Yeah, and he did some. What's the report? He opened his own brewery now?
He's had his own brewery now for 10 years.
In China? Where's he at?
In Japan. About an hour and 15 minutes north of Tokyo.
Oh, yeah, I think you told me about
and
this.
And how long? He was there
before.
For like almost a year? Or?
No, 1 month.
Oh, it seemed like a year.
He was there full time for 1 month, okay. which I always told people I don't want them for 2 days. 1 day is enough. I don't want you for 2 days. But he actually organized it with me. He went to a beer class in Canada for 2 weeks, and then he came down and stayed. I actually had a friend put him up. A friend of mine rented him a room, and he stayed with my friend for a month.
Well, he didn't know that much English either, so it's kind of the same deal you're talking about with the French girl, right?
You know, he knew enough English to communicate.
Not as good looking as the French girl, but...
one of the problems with English language is if I say, don't forget to put something on. Okay, if I say that in English, we all know what that means. But any negative, in most languages, any negative in the sentence means, the whole sentence means no.
Yeah.
So if I say, don't forget to put on the wheat, that means don't put on the wheat.
Yeah.
He and I had to come to terms with that really quickly, because he knew of the problem. I didn't know of the problem. He knew of the problem, and every time I would tell him something that had two negatives in it, he'd say, okay, am I doing it or am I not doing it? Yeah. But other than that, we communicated really well. He was
really interesting.
He was absolutely terrified he was going to contaminate a beer. And so he really cleaned things meticulously and really made sure to, if he was unsure about anything, he carried it over to me and had me examine it. And
That's good. I mean, I think that's honestly a fear of some people. I mean, I've had batches that just didn't turn out, and I'm like, what happened? You know, what got in there? What happened or something?
And I think he was so concerned. He was just a very precise individual, and he was just afraid. He just didn't want to be in trouble with me. He just wanted to succeed, and
a cultural thing,
A cultural thing, and he's just a precise person. You know, he was able to go back to Tokyo. It was funny.
We should have this guy on the show, man.
You know, his
great
because he hasn't been speaking English. His English skills have gotten worse, so it would be hard to have him on the show right now. But he does listen to the show. He does contact me. He has a baby. So right before he left Tokyo, he and his wife were working in a beer bar. He and his girlfriend were working in a beer bar. And he quit to come to the U.S., to come to Canada and come to the U.S. And on his way out of town, he and his girlfriend had a secret marriage. And so they were on the phone for 2 hours every day, you know, just in love, not able to have a honeymoon because they literally got married and he left for 6 weeks. But now they have a baby, and he owns a brewery. His family owned a big industrial property. So he had a place to go build
perfect.
A brewery. and he went home and
built
a brewery.
Was this secret marriage in Vegas like everyone else's secret marriages?
No, his was in Tokyo.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought Elvis was maybe doing the ceremony or something.
Maybe, that's weird.
But Kohei was one of my favorite assistants ever.
I still can't say his name. How do you say it?
Kohei. He was really funny. He was just the most polite, caring individual ever. And I miss him to death. I wish I could have worked with him longer.
So, are you thinking about becoming a teacher now, Colin? After your, I know you do lectures and stuff like that.
I have always liked teaching. I don't think it will ever become a full time job for me.
I kind of think you would be a good nutty professor teacher. Like, I got Kaminsky.
There's a little bit more to it than what it maybe appears on the surface. Some people get into it and they're
every holiday, every weekend.
One of my superpowers is I'm really good at getting people excited about things.
Yeah, and that's half the battle.
And for me, that's always been half the battle. I substitute teach a holography class, and
I'm not excited about this.
It's a science credit in an art college, and when they're learning the science, they're really bored to tears. But I go in the lab part, and I get them all excited about the art, and they're going to make the biggest, most beautiful hologram ever. And and at the end of it, they're like, okay, I want to learn this. I want to learn this. And that's always fun.
So this is holograms again, Colin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at least I waited until we only had 15 seconds left. Merrick, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, Merrick. Thank you, guys.
And thank you for putting this class together.
Of course. I hope.
And like, bringing beer and cookies.
Hope it's the first. Yeah.
And beer and wonderful cookies.
Man, gotta, you know.
You've been listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts.
If you're not driving the new Sprinter Worker from Mercedes-Benz, your van just isn't cutting it. The Sprinter Worker takes payload up a notch, carrying up to 3,512 pounds.